warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis this morning. For those of you at the computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, please click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Let's continue with singing hymn number 189.
Mine eyes look toward the mountains, help cometh from on high. From God who never slumbers, whose care is ever nigh. My foot shall not be moved, my keeper is.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Eyes and Sight. Our hymns this morning are hymn number 189 that we just sang, hymn number 85, and number 34. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Holy Bible, Isaiah, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Genesis, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Psalms, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Deuteronomy, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Isaiah, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. 2 Kings. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Zephat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Psalms, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Matthew, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked him, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. James, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. John, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. 2 Corinthians, Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Hebrews, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, God, the great I Am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Man is not matter. Man is spiritual and perfect. Because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be so understood in Christian Science. Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas. Eyes, spiritual discernment, not material, but mental. Sight, hearing, all the spiritual senses of man are eternal. They cannot be lost. Their reality and immortality are in spirit and understanding, not in matter, hence their permanence. If the five corporeal senses were the medium through which to understand God, then palsy, blindness, and deafness would place man in a terrible situation where he would be like those having no hope and without God in the world. But as a matter of fact, these calamities often drive mortals to seek and to find a higher sense of happiness and existence. Jesus mapped out the path for others, to those buried in the belief of sin and self, living only for pleasure or the gratification of the senses. He said in substance, Having eyes, ye see not, and having ears, ye hear not, lest ye should understand and be converted. I might heal you. He taught that the material senses shut out truth and its healing power. Jesus beheld in Science the perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Savior saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. Let the perfect model be present in your thoughts instead of its demoralized opposite. the spiritualization of thought lets in the light. When Jesus declares that the light of the body is the eye, he certainly means that light depends upon mind, not upon the complex humors, lenses, muscles, the iris and pupil, constituting the visual organism. The indestructible faculties of spirit exist without the conditions of matter and also without the false beliefs of a so-called material existence. Heredity is a prolific subject for mortal belief to pin theories upon. But if we learn that nothing is real but the right, we shall have no dangerous inheritances, and fleshly ills will disappear. This materialism of parent and child is only in mortal mind. How transient a sense is mortal sight when a wound on the retina may end the power of light and lens, but the real sight or sense is not lost. Neither age nor accident can interfere with the senses of soul, and there are no other real senses. I have seen age regain two of the elements it had lost, sight and teeth. A woman of 85 whom I knew had a return of sight. It is evident that the body as matter has no sensation of its own, and there is no oblivion for soul and its faculties. Spirit senses are without pain, and they are forever at peace. Nothing can hide from them the harmony of all things and the might and permanence of truth. Let us then shape our views of existence into loveliness, freshness, and continuity, rather than into age and light. When walking, we are guided by the eye. We look before our feet, and if we are wise, we look beyond a single step in the line of spiritual advancement. Physical science, so-called, is human knowledge, a law of mortal mind, a blind belief, a Samson shorn of his strength. When this human belief lacks organizations to support it, its foundations are gone. Having neither moral might, spiritual basis, nor holy principle of its own, this belief mistakes effect for cause and seeks to find life and intelligence in matter, thus limiting life and holding fast to discord and death. In a word, human belief is a blind conclusion from material reasoning. This is a mortal, finite sense of things which immortal spirit silences forever. Neither organic inaction nor overaction is beyond God's control, and man will be found normal and natural to changed mortal thought, and therefore more harmonious in his manifestations than he was in the prior states which human belief created and sanctioned. Thus matter will finally be proved nothing more than a mortal belief, wholly inadequate to affect a man through its supposed organic action or supposed existence. Error will be no longer used in stating truth. Spiritual vision is not subordinate to geometric altitudes. Whatever is governed by God is never for an instant deprived of the light and might of intelligence and life. We are sometimes led to believe that darkness is as real as light, but science affirms darkness to be only a mortal sense of the absence of light, at the coming of which darkness loses the appearance of reality. Portraits, landscape paintings, facsimiles of penmanship, peculiarities of expression, recollected sentences can all be taken from pictorial thought and memory as readily as from objects cognizable by the senses. Mortal mind sees what it believes as certainly as it believes what it sees. It feels, hears, and sees its own thoughts. Pictures are mentally formed before the artist can convey them to canvas. So it is with all material conceptions. Mind readers perceive these pictures of thought. They copy or reproduce them, even as they are lost in the memory of the mind in which they are discoverable. It is needless for the thought or for the person holding the transferred picture to be individually and consciously present. Though individuals have passed away, their mental environment remains to be discerned, described, and transmitted. Though bodies are leagues apart from their associations forgotten, their associations float in the general atmosphere of human mind. The Scotch call such vision second sight, when really it is first sight instead of second, for it presents primal facts to mortal mind. Science enables one to read the human mind, but not as a clairvoyant. It enables one to heal through mind, but not as a mesmerist. The mime knows not of the emeralds within its rocks. The sea is ignorant of the gems within its caverns, of the corals, of its sharp reefs, of the tall ships that float on its bosom, or of the bodies which lie buried in its sands. Yet these are all there. Do not suppose that any mental concept is gone because you do not think of it. The true concept is never lost. From the infinite elements of the one mind emanate all form, color, quality, and quantity, and these are mental, both primarily and secondarily. Their spiritual nature is discerned only through the spiritual senses. If the disciple is advancing spiritually, he is striving to enter in. He constantly turns away from material sense and looks towards the imperishable things of spirit. Spiritual perception brings out the possibilities of being, destroys reliance on aught but God, and so makes man the image of his Maker in deed and in truth.
For thine is